Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that even though there are many of us sick this morning, and we still have the opportunity that we can meet together digitally. We thank you for the technology that allows us to be able to do so. I pray for the many that are sick this morning, Lord Jesus, and are unable to make it to service. I pray, Lord God, that you would comfort them and strengthen their bodies, Lord Jesus. I pray that this sickness would pass quickly, Lord Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that you would still help them through this time, not to be pulled down into any temptation, Lord Jesus, but let this be a time of renewal for their body and also a renewal for their soul. I pray, Lord God, for as well for our family of the week, for Jerry and Marianne Thrash. I pray, Lord, that they would not get sick. I pray, Lord God, that you would encourage them and comfort them and strengthen them. Lord, allow this to be a year of 2022, a time of blessing, Lord, and a purpose. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to direct Jerry and Marianne's life, Lord. And we thank you for the many things that they do around the church and in their ministry. I just pray, Lord, you continue to bless them and their ministry and the efforts that they make. I pray, Lord God, for Dave and Peggy Bardini, Lord, as they are retired now, Lord, but still able to give much of their lives. I pray for Peggy as she continues to take her medication for Alzheimer's, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would allow this to continue to work and allow her to have comfort during this time and allow her still to be a help to her husband. And I pray, Lord, for Dave as he takes on many different opportunities that he has in his ministry to be able to train young men and women who want to serve you. And I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for his ministry that he can continue to serve you by training others for your ministry. I just pray, Lord, you bless this couple, take care of their needs, comfort them and help them throughout this year. And Lord, I pray for us this morning, Lord, as we dive into your word, I pray that you would strengthen us with it. I pray, Lord, you teach us something new, and I pray that we wouldn't leave with just a notch on our list of something else that we accomplished today, but let it be something that renews our spirit and helps us to be focused on what to do here in the new year. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to ask you to open them up to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at a couple different verses, but we're going to stay mostly in Colossians chapter 3 today. But today I want us to consider three very important pieces of our daily spiritual disciplines. And I know we can take on many different perspectives about what is best in our daily spiritual disciplines, but I have found that there are three disciplines that are key in order for us to really grow in our Christian life. And those three disciplines are reading the Bible, meditating on Scripture, and prayer. Now, there may be things in your life that are very important that are not getting accomplished or that you may have started but just haven't finished yet that you need to find a way to finally finish. Now, you may have several categories of things that you need to figure out how to implement in your life, but by far, the most important thing for the Christian is to implement in his life his spiritual disciplines. Now, there's a children's song that I learned years ago called Grow, 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 and it went like this. It went, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Now, there is some truth to that song. However, I would say that it's not just about reading your Bible, but also implementing some simple meditation on a passage. Because in just reading something, we often only consider what is on the surface. But meditating on a passage helps us to break it down and really learn what God is trying to teach us. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, we are clearly called to read God's word, to know it, and to live it. And the examples throughout Scripture are great examples for our everyday lives. Now, sometimes reading the Bible can feel daunting. I've heard many times that it's very difficult to read through the Bible because it's so long. And I think many times that's because anyone that's starting in Genesis, by the time they hit Numbers and Leviticus, I think it gets too daunting because the laws of the Israelites are very hard to understand, and it repeats itself over and over again. And I've heard from many people that say, I don't know how I'm going to get through this chapter alone. But really, it's after you get through that chapter, it's pretty much, or after those few chapters, it's just you kind of glide through the rest of it. But it's not the Bible's not the longest book ever written. There are many classics today that are even longer than Scripture. I think of Tolstoy's War and Peace. It's a good 200,000 words more than the Bible. But there are many classics that are longer than the Bible that are still read today. Considering that the Bible is comprised of other books and letters that were once written, it's kind of like a series that you would read through today. And many popular series today take much longer to read than it really takes to read the Bible. Now, the average reader can read through the Bible in about 52 hours. That means if you set aside about 3 hours a night, you could have it read in about 2 weeks' time. Thinking about longer series, just off the top of my head, the ever popular Harry Potter series that comes up every year around October, everyone's talking about Harry Potter. That series is actually longer than the Bible. If you read that, you could get that done in about 72 hours from what I understand. So just note, if ever you read through that series and you haven't read the Bible through all the way yet, you need to go back and read through the Bible first. But if you are a Christian and you have not read through the Bible, you should. In fact, we should all be reading through the Bible on a regular basis, at least once every year. And the reading comprehension level is not too high. I know sixth graders that read it through 3 or 4 times a year. Now, for myself, I tend to take notes while reading through the Bible, which slows me down significantly, but it really helps in my perspective. When you are going to read through the Bible, I suggest that you keep a notebook handy. And anytime that you come across something that you don't understand, write down the text and what your question is. Now, this is good. It's a good help for you to remember later what the question is and get help in studying it out. Sometimes we'll just write down the reference and say, I don't understand this. And then when you come back to it, you don't understand what it is that you told yourself you don't understand. So make sure you write out what it is that you don't understand. And it gives us a good time to go back and really study out each one of those pieces. Now, reading scripture helps us to identify where certain things are in the Bible. And it also helps us to connect different events, as many things in the Old Testament are connected to things in the New Testament. Now, it also helps us to get much more familiar with Scripture, where we can answer questions simply because we have read it. And reading through the Bible also helps us better understand God's design for His people and even for our own lives. It expands our understanding of His nature. Now, in your daily morning spiritual disciplines, I would take a few minutes to either read a Proverbs or I would read a portion of a chapter in the same context. And then I would take some time later that day to read some more. Now, I say that because most people only give themselves a short amount of time in the morning for preparation for that day. But we tend to give ourselves more downtime in the evening. So we take in what is most important for our spiritual fight through the day. And later in the evening, we get to know the Lord a little bit more through reading through a section of Scripture. Now, the next point to consider is meditation. Meditation is vitally important to our Christian walk, and I want to consider a few passages on why it's important, but let's take a moment and discuss what meditation is and how it's different from memorization. Memorization is taking data, and through practice, putting a picture of that data into our minds. And there are all sorts of memorization techniques that can help transfer that data. However, putting a picture of, say, a verse from the Bible in our minds is nice because that means it's in our head, but it's not actually helpful because just because it's in our mind, that doesn't mean that we know anything about it. Now, think about it this way. A doctor goes to school for, like, I don't know, 10 years of his life, and he learns all of the facts that he needs from his textbook. And in fact, lots of doctors get really good at bringing back up the numbers and the different things that they had learned over the years. And they're really good at recalling facts. But for this doctor, something is missing from his efforts in helping people, and that is the application of those facts. Now, if he doesn't apply the facts that he learned, then there's no way that he could put them into practice. So when you visit such doctor, he can look at his textbook from his mind and see everything is laid out there, and he can read through almost in his mind what the text looks like. But if he doesn't know how to apply that text, it doesn't do you any good when you come in for a visit. So it is in the Christian life. When we can memorize words on a page, it's better that we learn the words and what they're about by breaking them down into bite-sized pieces so that we can really understand them and applying to our lives and put them into practice. And this is the result of the right kind of meditation. Well, let's dig a little deeper about meditation. Look with me in our text today, Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So if you're a Christian, seek the things of God. Set your mind on godly things, not on the things of the earth. Because when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you died to your flesh, and your life is no longer connected to sin, but is hidden with Christ in God. Look with me at verse 5. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put to death is another way of saying remove these things from your life and be rid of them forever. Now notice, if we are to put these things to death, we are able to remove them from our understanding and get rid of them. Now just as we are to put things in, we are also to pull things out. Now we also should remove and put to death any practices in our lives that cause us to think in any of these ways. Now notice in verse 8, there is more that we should be pulling out of our lives and getting rid of. It says here, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now these are all things that we need to remove from our lives. Now, it may take some time to get rid of these things, but they should not be things that we are working on every day of our lives. They should be something that is behind us that we are tempted to come back to, but they should not be something that we live with every day. It should be a short-term removal process. In other words, there should be an end date to it. You know, sometimes we look at things in our life and we say, well, I'm working on it. And we stay working on it for like the next 5 years because we never really put the efforts into being done with it. And God calls us to get into it. If we're faced with something, if there's something specific that God has told us from his scripture, put it off, then we need to make a plan of action and put it off. Get rid of it. Don't just hold on to it for a long time, but get rid of it so that we can start working on the things that God is trying to work on us already with, that we're not making room for because we still haven't put off these simple things that he's called us to put off in the first place. Now, look with me at verse 10. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So we are to put on something. So taking something off is a whole different process. Putting off is about removing any obstacles that keep us coming back to that sin and forgetting these things and no longer bring them into our lives. Purposing to no longer take them in through our eyes, through our nose, through our ears, through our mouths, even our touch, through whatever means that we take on these sin patterns and latch onto them. We are to put them off. Now, putting something on is about getting something and not just putting it into our minds, but allowing it also to travel into our hearts and into our understanding and into our wills, into the very fabric of our lives until we are essentially wearing it as clothes. And now others can see the clothes that we wear right now. If we were out and about today, if you were to walk out and go to the store, someone would see the clothes that you're wearing. And here in Scripture, we're instructed to put things on as if and take them in so much to the point that we're essentially wearing them as clothes so that others can see our outside actions. They can see the patterns of our lives. They can see the goodness, the kindness that is within us that we're putting on as if we are wearing it as clothes, which again is so vitally important that we put off these items in Colossians 3, 5 through 9 and put them to death, because those around us see what we wear. And they see us wearing these sins. They see that these sins are such a part of us that it's as if they are our clothes. And if they see these sins that make us up, they're not going to see Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to be blocked by the sins that we're wearing instead, which is why it's so vitally important for us to put these sins off and be rid of them. Look with me at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now notice that because we are to put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, we see the result of us putting these things on. What is produced by these things is the ability to bear with one another and the ability to forgive one another. So we don't just see God saying, look, just put these things on and don't worry about the result. He's telling us right here, if you put these things on, what's going to come from it is you're going to be able to bear with one another and you're going to have the ability to forgive one another. So each thing that God asks us to put off is for a specific purpose. And each thing he asks us to put on is for another specific purpose, so that it can result in other good things. And we can get rid of the bad things. We can get rid of the bad habits and the bad things, because bad things in our life, sin produces more bad things. It produces more sin. But the good things in our life produce good things. They produce good habits, and they produce good godly things that God wants us to be able to use for him throughout the ministry of our lives. So what else are we to put on? Look with me at verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now again, if we put on love, the result is going to be here. Look with me at verse 15. The result is, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, it doesn't say put on the peace of God. If we have put on these other things and have put off the things that we are supposed to, then our hearts will be tender and God will reveal his peace to us. Now, we simply need to let God do the work in our hearts that he started with at the beginning of the process of our sanctification. So how do we go about putting on these godly things? Well, the answer lies within verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, or abundantly. Let it work within you. Now that means that we need to get the scripture off of the page and into the fabric of our lives. So how do we do that? Well, we do not do that by simply memorizing words on the page. Like memorizing historical facts is one thing. Memorizing math equations is something else. But taking God's truths and applying them come from study and application, not just memorization. Now, I believe that the idea of memorization is first to get the information into our brains. And then there's this assumption that we're going to start working on the things that are in our brains and start breaking it down. But what's common for us to do is to memorize the verse and not really know anything about it, which isn't any use to us. I can't tell you how many times I grew up in Awana clubs. And if any of you grew up in Awana, we had a lot of memorization to do. And in fact, I think at one point they made it a rule that you couldn't play. They had a game time where you had a great time of games, by the way. But they made it a rule that you couldn't play games until you memorized a verse. Because there's a lot of us young punks that would just try to skate through and bypass the whole scripture memory thing. and just go right to game time because that was the funnest part. So we had to start, we had to, no matter what, memorize a verse. So what would happen is we'd have like a 15-minute, 20-minute time of verse memorization time. And I think some had the expectation that you would go home and memorize it during the week, and some did. In fact, some where maybe their parents sat with them and helped them memorize and stuff, maybe reinforced what the verses were all about. But there were many of us who, when we memorized the scripture, we were just memorizing it to get to the next thing. So we didn't know what it was all about. And if our leader would ask us, okay, what's the verse? We'd rattle off the verse real quick and they'd say, okay, now what's this about? It would be like crickets. I don't know what it's about. I memorized it. That's what I was supposed to do. Is it important to know what it's about? Well, of course it's important to know what it's all about. But for a young boy who's just basically trying to get to the next fun activity, all he's thinking about is getting through the basics of what you've asked him to do. So a lot of times we can memorize things and not really know what it's about if we're not purposing to know what it's about. And I think it's very important for us to know not just what the verse is, but what the context of the verse is and so on, so that we can understand what God is trying to tell us through his scripture. Now, we could try to retain these truths and hide them within us through reading God's word, which is important for us to do. But how many of us read through large or even small sections of God's word and then get to the end and then we find that we weren't really paying attention, or we don't know the historical context of what's going on and we haven't really grasped the meaning of the text? Now, we just do not retain enough understanding through basic reading. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that reading the Bible isn't important. It's very important. But reading the scripture is vital to the daily spiritual walk of the practicing Christian. And I say practicing Christian because some Christians kind of skate through life with a bare minimum, and they put more focus on their needs over God's desires. Have you ever met someone who said, well, I'm a practicing whatever? I've met many people who say, well, I'm a Catholic, but I'm not a practicing Catholic. And I'm like, well, how can you be a Catholic then? I've met people who've said, well, you can even imagine someone saying, well, I'm a Baptist, but I'm not a practicing Baptist. And I'm like, what does that mean? Even for people who would say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a practicing Christian. Many times in their minds, that's them saying they grew up in a Christian home, but they don't put the efforts into really knowing what, you know, Christianity is all about. And you find that many times they just, those are those who identify as Christians, but they do very little in practicing Christianity in their own lives. Those are not the ones who practice putting off and putting on the way that God intended. They are more likely to put off the things of Christ and put more of themselves on. Now, all practicing Christians should be reading the Bible every day. It should be a regular part of your daily spiritual disciplines. Even if you only read a portion of one chapter a day, you should be digesting some of Scripture every day. Now, not just a little thought from the Daily Bread devotionals. Those are helpful if you're running extremely late and you can't take time to actually go through your daily time. But you shouldn't be giving yourself only 2 minutes every morning with your daily spiritual disciplines. Now, God gave us 24 hours a day to honor him. We need to make sure that we are using that time in the manner that would most honor him, and spending only a few minutes a day trying to honor him. Because if we're spending only a few minutes a day in our spiritual disciplines, we are not honoring the Lord. Now, meditation is not a foreign concept. We meditate on something every day. The thoughts of our minds when we dwell on something is simply us meditating on that thing. Now let's consider another passage from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now meditation is when we take a passage of Scripture and we think about it and we consider it and break it down into little tiny pieces so that we know what it is all about and what it's conveying to us. I'm going to give you some help this morning as we look at meditation. Many times I hear that there's just not enough time in our mornings in order to walk through these spiritual disciplines, but I would argue that they do not take as much time as you think to accomplish these elements. Now, you can take 10 minutes or less a day. I'm not saying just in the morning. You can take 10 minutes or less a day to simply review a passage through meditation. And by the end of the week, you'll have it memorized. In fact, by the end of the week, you'll not only have it memorized, but you'll have it the ins and outs and the understanding of the whole passage. Because meditation is not about taking one moment to understand something. It's about breaking down one thought over a long period of time. So if you just take 10 minutes in the morning and only focused on your verse, on your passage that you're meditating on, it's not really going to do you any, it's not going to do you any good. You'll still understand it a little bit going in your day, but if you only think about what God's trying to teach you only in the morning, you don't think about it the rest of the day, then you're not really grasping how God is trying to teach us to understand His Word. Now let's take a passage and consider how we should meditate on it. We'll use one of the verses from the theme of the passage of the faith race. So the entire passage of the faith race, the main theme is 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. But let's look today at the last verse, verse 27, which says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." Now, the first thing I'm going to do is break this verse down by thoughts. And I'm really only going to break off the first piece. So the first piece that I naturally feel comfortable with working on is I discipline my body. During the holidays, we went over to See's Candy, and I'm allergic to pretty much all of the candy there because, unfortunately, I don't know why anybody would do this. I know why you do it. It's creamy, okay? But in their base chocolate, okay, they use eggs. So, and it makes it creamier, sure, but I'm allergic to all of it. But the only thing I'm not allergic to is the suckers that they have, but I get tired of the suckers. So we went over there for, Tracy got some candy for the holidays. And I was like walking around in the store like, man, I can't really eat anything. But then I saw they had this box of peanut brittle. And I love peanut brittle from a childhood because my mom used to make peanut brittle every year, and I haven't had peanut brittle in years. So I got the peanut brittle, but I noticed that when I opened it up, it had like a giant slab of it. And I couldn't just pick the thing up. I mean, theoretically you could, but I couldn't really pick the whole thing up and start biting into it because it's just too rich to try to eat in large sections. So what I had to do is break it down into little tiny pieces. And I kind of think of our passages in a similar manner. So they're a giant slab of peanut brittle, okay? You're not going to pick it up and try to eat the whole thing. You're going to break it off a little bit at a time because otherwise it would be too rich and too sweet to consume all at once. Now, you just reach over and you break off a small piece and you work on that small piece for a while. I'll put it in my mouth. I'll suck on it for a little bit. I'll chew on it for a little bit. And I'll think about it and enjoy it little by little. And so it is here with our verse. You kind of chew on it for just a little bit and you let it break it down little by little until it's ready to be digested, until it's in a small enough piece where you can fully enjoy it. So we have the first piece here. I discipline my body. Now, right now, it's just a collection of words. So we need to get to know it. And we're going to read it over a few times, and then we're going to start getting to know it by asking questions about it. Now, as I think about this first piece, I'm going to ask myself logical questions to try and get to the bottom of what this thought is all about. I'm going to ask myself questions such as, what does it mean to discipline my body? How does someone discipline their body? In what ways do I discipline my body now? And what do I need to change in order to discipline my body? Now, you don't have to look at this and say, okay, is there some place I can go to write down these different questions? Because I got to make sure I know these questions next time to ask these questions. That's not how this works. You basically look at this first bit and you just think to yourself, okay, so what is it about discipline? How do I discipline? What does discipline mean? What is my body mean? And you just start asking yourself simple questions that will help you break it down. So your questions might be very different from the questions that I ask. But the point is to ask yourself these questions so that you can help to break down just this little bit. Now, sometimes I'm going to ask myself a question that will naturally progress my thought into the next chunk. And other times when I'm comfortable with knowing this piece, I'm going to break off the next piece to chew on. The next piece that I'm going to break off is bring it into subjection. Now, this piece answers my first questions with how does one discipline their body? So how does one discipline their body? By bringing it into subjection. And it helps me as well to expand on the questions I asked in the first place to think about and in different ways that I can bring my body into subjection. Now, I might even consider another passage and how it connects to these verses, like Hebrews 12:1, which says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So I'm going to lay aside the weight. So wait, in order to discipline my body and bring it into subjection, I'm going to have to set aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares me. Now, at that point, I'm going to be asking myself even more questions to say, if this is me disciplining my body, what is it that I'm going to have to set aside? What is it that ensnares me? Is there something right now that I need to let go? And I'm going to keep thinking about this and working with these questions to help break these things down. And each one of these questions will complement the next question, and it's going to better help my understanding to break it down. And when I'm ready for the next piece, I'll consider when I've preached to others. And then I'll start asking myself questions about this section. Like, what does it mean to preach to others? What is the content of my preaching? How do I preach to others? Now, you may also find yourself, as you're breaking down these bits, that your questions may lead you to other questions that you may need to seek a Bible study or commentary, or ask your spiritual leader for some guidance in really understanding your passage. Now, when I'm ready to go to the next chunk, again, I'm going to ask myself some questions about it and also look within the context of the rest of the passage. Now, the next section is, I myself should become disqualified. And I might ask a few questions like, how do I become disqualified? What would cause me to become disqualified? And even, what am I being disqualified from? Now, once you have broken down all of the thoughts and consider real questions about each section, what happens is that the whole process of you learning these things stays in your mind, and you naturally memorize the passage. Now, because you have studied out the whole verse, you not only retain it, but now you have a complete understanding of your passage. And a door is opened up in front of you, allowing you to either walk through and begin applying what you have learned to your life, or allowing you to shut it and ignore what you've learned so far. Now, if you go through the door and begin applying what you have learned, the process of you learning the verse will transition from your mind to your heart until you take it on as the very fabric of your life, so that others will be able to see it and experience the change that is in you because of the good that you have now applied to your life. Now, let's consider how this whole process works in a practical day-to-day kind of function. Now, if you're anything like me, the first thing I read or hear in the morning is stuck in my head for the rest of the day. And I don't like looking at my phone as the very first thing in the morning. First of all, it's too bright. But I'll roll over and I'll look at my verse card that is sitting on my side table, which is displaying my meditation for the day. Now, how do I know that it's my meditation for the day? Because I made the preparations for it the night before. So I'm going to grab that verse card and I'll say the verse to myself two or three times, which typically takes under 1 minute. Then I might pray for a minute or two and thank God for the day and think about the things that I'm grateful for. And then I'll start getting ready for my day. Now, at breakfast, as I eat, I'll pull out that verse card and take another look at my verse, and I'll ask a question or two of that verse. Again, maybe 1 to 2 minutes at the most. And then next, I'll take whatever time I have allotted for my daily spiritual disciplines. I'll be reading my Bible, praying, maybe even doing some journaling, and then I'll head out into my day. So if at work or school I have a break, I might take one more minute to consider another question of the section that I'm chewing on. And then at lunch, I'm going to take maybe 5 minutes to think through a question or two. And then later after dinner, I might take another few minutes or more to think about a few more questions. I might even take some more time to study the passage a little bit on nights where I didn't have very much going on. Now, then when I'm going to bed, I'll read over my verse a few more times right before I go to bed. Now, in the end, I thought about my verse pretty much all day, a little bit at a time. Now, I probably asked and answered it at least 5 corresponding questions throughout the day. And how much time did it take out of my day? On average, it's going to take between 10 and 15 minutes of your entire day. Now, you might say, well, it takes me a long time to think through questions. Well, it always takes us a little bit longer when we first begin something new that we haven't done or something that we haven't done in a very long time. But the reality is, in meditation, it really only takes you a couple of minutes throughout your entire day. If you think about something only in the morning or only at night, it'll take you a much longer time to retain it. And I think about that verse that tells us to pray without ceasing. And pray without ceasing is about keeping that door open, the channel open all day long for us to be praying to the Lord all day long throughout our day. Because as Christians, we should be thinking about the Lord throughout our day. And what we tend to do is get into our spiritual disciplines in the morning and then only really think about them then, do our day, and then maybe think about them a little bit before we go to bed at night. Where the reality is, Scripture is teaching us, look, we need to be meditating on these things, which means we need to be chewing on them throughout our day, always keeping that channel open, always letting God's word work on us and change us and make us better. It can't always be working on us if we only look at it in the morning and don't think about it the rest of the day. There's got to be a process throughout the day that is sinking in, that is settling on us and helping us to change. So it is with a process of meditation. Now think about how many places in Scripture that we are commanded to meditate on God's Word. I would challenge you to go through Scripture and look for every time it says meditate or study in context. It's talking about taking on and meditating on God's Word. To hide God's Word in our hearts or to memorize God's Word, to study God's Word. Now these are all throughout Scripture. And when we meditate on God's Word, we study it. We thoroughly break it down into pieces and we naturally memorize it because we end up knowing it inside and out. We don't have to rush to meditate on a different verse every day. I sometimes meditate on one verse throughout the entire week. Now, you don't just meditate on a verse until you know it. You meditate on it until it becomes personal, until you can apply it, until you have talked to God about it, until you can bring it to prayer to Him. Until you can see yourself in that verse. That's how long you meditate on your passage. And then let's not forget about the third spiritual discipline, prayer. Prayer does not come easy for me. It comes a lot easier for others. But whether it's the easiest or hardest, the Bible instructs us to open the door to prayer when we awake and then keep it open all day long to the Lord. So we keep coming back throughout our day to talk with God, to use His wisdom and His instruction throughout our daily struggle. In fact, if we are going to have a successful spiritual life, if we're going to be successful at reading through the Bible and meditating on a passage and really developing in our life, then we need to keep these things in prayer and let the Lord bless us as we work through them. The Christian will never have success in his or her life without the power of prayer. Now, meditation and prayer go hand in hand. They are the two spiritual disciplines that we need in order to go into our daily spiritual battles and win against Satan. Meditation and prayer are what we need before we handle our coworkers, our bosses, our teachers, traffic on the road, our daily circumstances, and even our family members. Meditation and prayer keeps our mind focused on what is most important and off the what ifs or the I can'ts. Meditation and prayer keeps our perspective on the Lord and His ability to help us overcome anything in our lives. Meditation and prayer are key elements to help us through our faith race of life, but also through our yearly memorization challenge. Now, the point of the Faith Race Challenge has never been to simply cram as many verses in your head as possible. It is designed to help you learn discipline, to learn to be a good disciple, to learn how to encourage and help others, and to learn God's Word along the way and work to apply it. Now, over the years, as I've been developing the Faith Race, I've stuck with a particular format. And this year, after some consideration and prayer, I've changed that format. This year's Faith Race will be broken down into three sections, three separate challenges that as you finish one, you are welcome to pursue the next. At the end of each challenge, you will have at least one full understanding of how to lead someone to Christ. Now, this year, it would be easier, or it should be easier, to track your verses because it's all contained in our church app. However, I would still suggest that you write out your verse on memory cards, and if you need a new one, let me know. I have one that I can give you. Because as we know, as we write things out, our muscle memory retains many of the things that we write out. It doesn't work the same when we type it out. Each year that I've been pastoring here, God has laid on my heart a specific theme and guide for what direction that we should go in preparation of what He has next. And we don't really do themes at our church, but each Faith Race so far has followed a primary pattern to how God was leading me. Last year was core verses that helped to strengthen the foundation of the Christian life, and this year is evangelism. Now, I believe that we are at the point that God wants us. We're a small group, but that doesn't mean that we cannot do anything. God has been shaping us in our ministry exactly where He wants it. And this year, He wants us to focus on getting ready to go out and bring people in. Now, everything that we've been doing with this ministry has been preparing us for a larger ministry. We are doing everything, really, that a larger church would be doing now. We simply need to add some more people in. Not much is going to change as more people come in, but we have to do the work to go get them. And that's what we're going to be working on this year. Now, you may choose not to participate with the Faith Race this year, but I would encourage you to meditate on the verses and join us in April for our training day. We have a training day April 23rd from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it's a day that we are learning different ways in presenting the gospel. And then we learn how to talk to people naturally and put these things into practice. Now, this year we have some different kindness works events and prayer works events that will allow you to put that training to work. So we need to make sure that we know what to say and how to apply scripture to real world opportunities to share the gospel. Meditation is very important. Our spiritual disciplines is very important. Prayer, reading our Bible, meditating on God's word. But we're never going to let God's word become the fabric of our lives if we don't make the effort to meditate on it. I can tell you from my own personal life that when I meditate on it and I do it right and I think about it throughout the day and just break down those increments throughout the day, and if you write it down on a verse card, it's really easy to just pull up anytime during the day and just look at your verse, or in the church app, it's easy to just pull it up off your phone and see, you know, read through the verse one more time. But if you keep these things and go on through it throughout the day, it's very easy. It just naturally gets hidden in your mind. You naturally memorize it. You naturally start hiding it in your heart, because as you're hiding in your heart, you're learning, hey, this is what this is about and this is what this means. And oftentimes when we find out the truth of what something is, we have a tendency to start applying that truth to our lives. Now, sometimes we'll take that truth and we'll put it on the shelf and we'll say, you know what, when I have time in the future, I'll start applying that truth. But many times when we find a truth, we're like, you know what, that's a truth. I need to start applying that. And we just start naturally getting it in. And God gives us that opportunity through meditation. Now, when instead I'm not working on meditation and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to memorize this verse, what happens is I'll take a few minutes each day, read it through, memorize it, get it down. I say it, no problem, it's there. But then as I think about it, I don't really know what it's all about. I haven't really broken it down into little pieces. And then what also happens is a couple days later, I can't really remember the verse again. Whereas when I'm meditating on it, it stays with me. Yes, no matter what, you have to review verses. If you don't review anything in life, you're going to forget it. But you don't have to review it as much if you meditate on it, because you've reviewed it so much through the process of meditation that you have it down. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've been able to gather around your word and learn some new truths about it. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us this week and even this year as we get into the faith race and meditate on the verses that you want for us to study and know and to learn. I pray, Lord, that we would be faithful to you, Lord Jesus, in our every days. I also pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church to gather together and to be able to go out and give the gospel to others and really understand what that means and what that looks like. I pray that you'd help us this year as we make the effort to invite people in and grow as a church. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.